This is Molly Gamble, Editor-in-Chief of Becker's Hospital Review. Today I'm pleased to be joined by Aaron Murray. Aaron is the Chief Information Officer and Vice President of Government Relations at Imprivata. He has held leadership roles in health IT for over a decade, most recently as a provider healthcare system CIO. As Chief Information Officer of Imprivata, he is responsible for leading the vision, development, and implementation of information technology initiatives in support of Imprivata's overall business plan and strategic vision. Mr. Murray has a wealth of experience leading information technology organizations in support of driving innovation in healthcare, most recently as CIO of Walnut Hill Medical Center, lauded by Forbes magazine as the hospital that Steve Jobs would have built. He holds a Bachelor of Science in Management Information Systems from the University of Texas at Arlington and a Master of Business Administration in Healthcare Services Management from the University of Dallas. Today, we'll be discussing patient identification and why it's important in the healthcare landscape. So, Aaron, to get started, tell me this. Is patient identification a problem in healthcare today? And if so, why is it a difficult one to solve?
Great question. And yes, the simple answer is it absolutely is a problem in healthcare today. And the reason why it's so difficult is because, quite honestly, it's multifaceted. Number one, it's been proven time and time again that over 10% of patients are misidentified when they present for care. I can tell you that in past lives, leading organizations, patients show up through the front door, on an ambulance, through a care flight, I mean, a number of ways. And it is amazing how many times that either the registration staff gets it wrong, you absolutely don't know who it is as presented, perhaps there's fraud, and a number of other issues that present themselves in accurately identifying the patient. Or perhaps the person registering the patient simply got it wrong and entered in the wrong errand on the medical record. So for a number of things, there are a number of barriers. Another thing that is important to note is that registration staff, boy, these guys and gals are the heroes of the front line, and they are, you know, usually underpaid, they have high turnover, and they are under pressure 24/7, 365 to check in patients. So when they can't find a patient or they have to choose multiple records, they might create a duplicate or an overlay, which is basically another version of Aaron Murray in the medical record. Now you have two records to deal with. Those sorts of problems present itself, so it becomes a multifaceted problem.
When you mentioned how multifaceted of a problem this is, I imagine the effects of the problem are multifaceted as well. So what are some of the clinical and financial ramifications of patient identification mistakes?
Absolutely. So first of all, about clinical. And as it's been shown many, many times again in the press and through numerous Joint Commission findings and whatnot, you can have, you know, near misses or sentinel events with patient safety issues left and right. Number one, with duplicates or overlays, you know, you may not be looking at the right patient record with the complete medical history. You know, if it's someone like me that has an allergy to certain medication, boy, it would be a terrible situation if you got me mixed up with somebody else and you gave me a med that I was allergic to. Another thing may be previous conditions or procedures. In my previous lives, we've had numerous steps in the process to make sure that patient Aaron really was patient Aaron, because they may have had prior conditions or complications or comorbidities that would complicate the surgery they were in for. So there's a number of things that could absolutely lead to a very serious situation, and or it could just be a repeat test. I mean, I think if you ask any clinician in a healthcare setting, one of the biggest bugaboos for any clinician is how many times a blood draw might need to be done on the patient. If you get that patient wrong, you might be going for a blood draw two, three, four times at a frequency they don't need to have. For financial implications, you know, it's pretty much clear cut. Number one is a cost, right? There's a cost of cleaning up those duplicates and those overlays. There's a cost of those repeat tests I mentioned. Some estimates show an average of $1,000 plus per test that's done improperly. Number three, denied claims. Ask any CFO, one of their bugaboos, and it'll be claims that are held up in adjudication because you have the wrong patient. You know, insurance companies are not going to pay out if you're trying to charge patient Aaron something. And guess what? There's no way I could be pregnant and you're trying to charge me to deliver a baby. Hey, guess what? That's the wrong patient. The Ponemon Institute actually showed that 35% of denied claims could be attributed to misidentification. That's a whole lot. And then, of course, I mentioned a little earlier was identity theft, insurance card fraud. Those, again, I saw front and square in my Metroplex, and it's something that's everybody in this country today.
Great answer. We know it's a problem. We know about the ramifications and ripple effects now of patient misidentification. So how about we talk about some solutions? What can hospitals do to prevent patient identification errors? And if you have any examples of hospitals that have had success in addressing these problems, I'd love to hear them.
Absolutely. I think hospitals absolutely are getting smarter. The era of fee-for-service is obviously done with. We are now moving to a much more constricted and capitated model where hospitals have to get smart. So they're doing a couple things. One, front-end processes. They are really looking at partnering with their colleagues in patient access and patient registration, the frontline clinicians, charge nurses, whatnot, to make sure that from a process perspective, we know that patient Aaron really is Aaron. Even so much as checking your armband or asking you two or three times and having these checks in the process is critical. Number two, establishing that patient naming convention procedures, making sure that in the medical record that you have Aaron with phase, not an ERIN, right? Those sorts of things are critical in making sure that the data is standardized so that from intake all the way to discharge, it's accurate in the system. Number three, the patient searching protocols. It's amazing how often you'll go into a system to search, you know, a very common name, John Nancy or something, and there's a zillion of those naming conventions in there. But standardizing that and making sure that you know how to search, what is the proper way to search, whether you're looking in a RIS, or you're looking in an EMR, whatever system it is critical. Last but not least, I mentioned it earlier, train and QAing the staff. It is one thing to put a process out there, but if you don't train a repetition, the caregivers and the clinicians and the business process folks are just not going to get it. And I think we have a number of customers that are leveraging process with technology, which we can talk about a little bit more later on. But for us up front, it's always been about it really increasing that front end type of information. With that, though, as I mentioned with technology, it comes down to something as simple as leveraging biometrics. The most successful organizations we've seen is process plus technology. You know, as a CIO, I'm very vocal in always saying that technology will not solve your problem by itself. It takes process with it. But biometrics has absolutely been shown to be the leading way to identify that Aaron really is Aaron. Even so much that NIST and other organizations have validated that you get a level of assurance based upon biometrics. So what do you do now with technology and with process? Well, very simply, now you're looking at an enterprise-wide solution. You know, maybe you're looking at one unique patient identifier across all your systems, like I mentioned a little earlier. Then now you're able to have advanced algorithms to be able to search both your front-end systems and your back-end to go, okay, Aaron came in, he presented, he was discharged, what happened? What happened through his transitions of care? What happened during this whole course of stay? Then also you're able to understand the capabilities of algorithms for use in front and back end search and making sure that, okay, we have a claim that was being hung up in adjudication. Why? What is it about this? We have a wrong CPT code. What's going on? Because now you're accurately able to chart on the right patient. And of course, making sure that you're able to work with your EMR vendors in this, you're able to streamline the information quickly and concisely for both clinical and financial care. You mentioned a question earlier asking for some examples of hospitals. You know, I'll talk about Community Hospital of Anderson, Indiana. They implemented biometric, and we really saw this, that what they were able to do and solve a major problem was, number one, improve patient confidence and safety. Number two, they were able to reduce duplicate medical records. Number three, they were combating against identity theft and fraud, again, something that hit me in the past. And then of 45 total trauma searches, 28 of those had successful results. Trauma search is when a patient presents and they're totally incapacitated. They present in the ED, they're off a care flight, they're off an ambulance, you don't know who this is, but being able to identify that, oh gosh, this was Aaron, he's incapacitated, he has nobody to answer who he is, but we're able to figure out, okay, he has these allergies and whatnot, that's critical. That's 28 patients that could have had a potential different outcome had they not been searched upon. So at the end of the day, as I said earlier, it's about obviously technology, it's about the processes, and together coming up with an enterprise solution.
Great. And you mentioned, you know, the hospitals that you've seen experience the most success in reducing patient misidentification have deployed processes plus technology. But let's talk a bit about the people too. How do biometrics for patient ID benefit clinicians, patients, and the provider organization overall?
Great question. Number one, let's talk about the clinicians, right? For a clinician to have confidence in who the patient is, to make sure that this is Aaron, and being able to deliver a clinical therapy, diagnoses, or whatnot is critical. They will know immediately the patient's history, their medications, their allergies. At the end of the day, a clinician wants to be able to do their job safely, effectively, and make sure that patient gets on the mend as quick as possible. They want to be able to better diagnose and avoid repeat tests. That's the key for the clinicians. For the patients, it's knowing that the providers have their back, that the providers know who they are, and they'll get appropriate care. Also, let's face it, all of us have been stuck in a waiting room at some point going, gosh, how hard is this? Being able to speed up check-in times, being able to know things like, hey, my personal information, I don't have to give that out 1,000 times and my social security number is written on a piece of paper 12 times in some file. All those duplicate issues that pop up, that potential are points of fraud or identity theft or whatnot, those are all items that give me reassurance that the provider, the clinician, the hospital has my back. For provider organizations, again, we talked about this earlier, insurance policy against a patient safety incident, avoiding the fact, like I talked about, Community Hospital Anderson had those 28 people that presented, being able to know that with definitive, hey, this really is Aaron, could potentially avoid a patient safety incident. We talked about this also earlier, the financial benefits, including the faster claims processing, the fewer denied claims. And then, of course, the less cost to correct the duplicates and overlays. That confidence in data is so important for provider organizations. So much time is spent on cleaning up dirty data in the EMR. This speeds up and eliminates all of those issues.
And Aaron, can you tell me a little bit about how patients react to biometric patient identification technology?
Absolutely. Positively. Overwhelmingly positive. In my personal past, I've had patients come up to me and tell me, hey, I felt like I was on a Star Trek set. I felt like you really know who I am. It is amazing how many CIOs are seeing this at their respective organizations and saying that my patients feel like we have their back simply because we're able to identify who they are. It's just as if you walk up to somebody and you recognize them off the street. You immediately feel a connection there. That's what patients want. So we'll talk about, again, Community Hospital Anderson. At first, some of the patients were asking a lot of questions, but now clearly, overwhelmingly, they understand the convenience and benefit. As I talked about earlier, getting over the fact that you're sitting in a waiting room and you don't know who I am versus, hey, Aaron, glad to see you're back. Here, let's go on in and meet Dr. Jones. That's critical. Also, you know, some patient family members now ask to be enrolled while visiting. That's amazing, tangible evidence that, hey, if I'm seeing my family member get automatically walked in and ushered to the back because they know who they are, I want that same treatment. What if something happens to me? What if I need to come in for a visit next week? So we're seeing this reciprocal effect where patients and their families now are all feeling very positive. Some of the best situations are when the patients become conditioned to come in for an appointment and they have their palms already extended for registration. At the end of the day there, it's about patients knowing that the hospitals have their back and the hospitals feeling like, hey, this is something very seamless.
Wonderful. Now, how about how this piece of technology can integrate with the hospital EHR? Can you expand upon that a little bit more?
Absolutely. It is very seamless of an experience. If you have the right piece of technology, if you have the right biometric, integrating that into the workflow is simply a natural extension of the entire process and it's seamless. It's EHR agnostic. It absolutely integrates with all major EHRs and I implemented it with 2 different major EMR vendors in my past. It didn't have an issue. It specifically integrates with the ADT systems at registration and it's part of the entire process. So as a patient, they don't have to add an extra step. And in fact, at the end of the day, it eliminates steps. Once you're already registered in the system, it eliminates tons of reduplicates, adding in that Aaron is back, all these sorts of things. From my perspective, again, as a previous hospital CIO, I saw it as a way to make sure that I could reduce my frequent flyers to my ED and for people that perhaps were drug seekers and making sure that we could quickly identify them at any time of the day and for folks who were just presenting. And so not only were we able to decrease registration times and increase the happiness factor of the patients, it was also able to tackle a major component, which is people that were drug seekers and potentially hopping from ED to ED, trying to figure out how can I score the next opioid. So for a perspective of seamless, it's critical that it's absolutely integrated with the EHR, and that's something that Patient Secure does very well.
For listeners who might be interested in rolling this out in their hospital or health system, can you share some tips for what makes for a smooth implementation of a biometric patient identification solution? Are there any best practices you've seen put to use?
Absolutely. And I'll talk about my direct experience. You've got to have an executive champion. You've got to have somebody at the top of the hill that sees the big picture. As one CFO told me, you know, see the forest from the trees. You've got to be able to understand that different departments have unique problems when it comes to patient identification. But, you know, you have somebody that can help glue each of the areas together for a seamless experience. So again, we'll use Community Hospital Anderson as an example. They had support from the president of the hospital. They had their CFO, the director of RevCycle, everybody in partnership with their technology groups to make sure they could tackle those problems from the multifaceted approach we spoke about earlier. It's not so much you want to solve just, you know, registration, but you want to solve what happens when Aaron transitions care from the ED to med-surg to OR to PACU to recovery. You've got to have folks that understand each of those areas and how you can smooth the process leveraging technology. Again, it's technology plus process, right? Then also it's about training, making sure that you train the managers and supervisors of the patient access areas, clinical areas, having their buy-in, giving them language to present to patients. An example of something you might tell a patient, you know, please make a 5 and put your palm down on the scanner so we get you registered, versus have you done palm scanning before. Being very direct and instructional to patients, making sure they clearly understand, hey, whatever you're here visiting us for, but we have your back, this helps you further. All those things matter at the end of the day. It creates an environment of safety and care, which is what hospitals want to present.
Wonderful. And to wrap up, where can organizations learn more about biometric patient identification?
Yeah, first and foremost, I'd send you the Improvata website. You know, check out positive patient identification on the website. There's a ton of great white papers and reports written by organizations like Becker's, and then videos and local media coverage of customers that are using Patient Secure. There's numerous success articles all over the internet. There's YouTube videos that I found instructional back in the day when I was rolling this out at my health systems. From a perspective of knowledge, what I like about the Improvata website is that it just collects all these great testimonials from folks and puts out their real-world data, which is what everyone wants to read.
Great. Thanks so much, Aaron, for your time and insight. To learn more about Improvata, please visit www.improvata.com/patient-identification. If you have any feedback on this program or requests for future podcast topics, please email me at mgamble@beckershealthcare.com. And please make sure to regularly visit Becker's Hospital Review at www.beckershospitalreview.com for the latest business, legal, and clinical news and guidance for hospitals and health systems. Thank you for joining us.